Hey, you there. Come on, take a break with us. So, what's in store for this break? Let's find out together here on It's Your Break.
Welcome to It's Your Break. Hi, I'm Jonathan Mertz, and coming up on today's episode, we're going to be talking about a lady who started a brand new business during a pandemic. And not just any typical business, a business that is primarily male-driven, the barbecue business. And we'll find out what it's all about coming up next here on It's Your Break.
It's Your Break will return right after this. Subscribe to the It's Your Break podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, Audible, YouTube, and iHeartRadio. And now, back to It's Your Break.
Welcome back to It's Your Break. Hi, I'm Jonathan Mertz, and today's episode is focused around a brilliant woman who has started a brand new business in the midst of a pandemic, a business that is primarily male-driven, the barbecue business. Now, why did Fortune Southern get into this? Well, we're going to find out. Fortune, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you.
You know, what's really remarkable, and we're going to get into the nitty-gritty of this, is you've been able to accomplish something during a pandemic. Mm-hmm. And not only something that's just being accomplished, but you're in a field that's predominantly male-driven. Mm-hmm. And in the barbecue field, you typically see a lot of male-driven chefs or cooks or however, you know, the majority of them want to be presented as. Mm-hmm. Let's start back and let's pull back everything and get to know you and figure out how you got into the barbecue and then opening up this restaurant.
Yeah. So I've always been in the food industry, and actually, speaking of a male dominated industry, actually, my dad was the barbecue chef of the house. That's kind of how I became more familiar with barbecue. My mom and dad were like huge cooks. And, you know, like I said, I grew up in the restaurant industry and around food. So it was always a thing that I was interested in. Originally, I had a food truck for 5 years. But on the food truck, I had a few dishes like Polish sausage and things like that that could be considered barbecue. But it wasn't really a barbecue themed truck like the restaurant is. I wanted to incorporate more barbecue in the restaurant because I do have a passion, you know, for barbecued food. I just never, the food truck just didn't, the type of truck that I had didn't really give me the space nor the equipment that I would need to, you know, have the correct menu. So this was my big chance to, like, most of the menu is from the food truck, but there were a few items that I added to this menu here. So, yeah.
Oh, that's really interesting. And for those that don't know, her restaurant is actually based in Los Angeles, California. Mm-hmm. And where did you grow up? Let me go back to there first. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Cleveland, Ohio. So I'm a Midwestern girl. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a good little journey. I was going to point that out. So, did some of your culinary expertise start back in Cleveland?
It did. All of it. And when I originally moved out here, the goal was to open, you know, a restaurant, but I didn't really know my way like around Los Angeles. I've been here for 10 years now. So, I had the food truck for about 5 years. Long story short, I decided it was probably smarter to start with, you know, a food truck instead of a restaurant, considering I didn't know much about the area or what they like, what they don't like. And that was probably one of the better decisions that I made, but I got the whole Midwestern style. It even says in the restaurant, Midwestern with a Hollywood twist. That's like the theme of the food. So the barbecue style is more Midwestern. And people always ask me, like, is that closer to like a Southern style or Kansas City? And it's kind of like neither. It's like the idea of that we do have barbecue menu items, but we also have like things like Reubens and different type of sandwiches that aren't barbecue for the idea of there's something for everyone. You know what I mean?
Right.
Everybody doesn't like barbecue. So I made sure that the menu has something for everyone. And that's kind of what I mean when I say like a Midwestern style barbecue.
Oh, that's cool. That mm-hmm. is cool. You know, you actually went to LA before LeBron left Cleveland and went that way. So that's
kind
of cool.
Oh, yeah. He followed me here.
he heard about your restaurant.
He heard I was moving.
And yeah. He wanted to be where the good food was. So when we're talking about barbecue, and what is your specialty? Are you into beef, pork, chicken, lamb? What is your specialty when it comes to barbecue?
Pork, definitely pork. We actually pork and beef, and we're in the process of bringing on more beef menu items now. But definitely pork. Our ribs, our pulled pork is the best. The ribs are really good too, tender. But that's our thing, is pork and beef. Chicken, yes, we have wings, but that's not really what we focused on this menu. It's really about the ribs and the, you know, the pulled pork, the brisket and things like that. So that's more what we're about.
So when you're doing your pulled pork, is it just the Boston butt, or are you adding in other cuts of meat to that as well?
The secret.
That's awesome. Make it a little mysterious, because I'm a big fan when it comes to whole hog, you know, pulled pork barbecue, because you get all of the different flavors and textures, because those different cuts do have
it makes a difference.
It does make a difference.
It does.
And typically, if I can't get that, if I'm going to try to do some type of barbecue myself, which I'm an amateur at it, I will do a Boston butt, but I may also have like a small ham in there that's just, you know, not even been smoked at that point, you know, that's going to go in with that, just to kind of give that full round flavor that you would get from.
And there's a lot of different meats that you can use to give that flavor. You know what I mean? Like, that people don't really know. Again, it's a secret, but you know, like, to give it that full bold flavor. So yes, maybe we do, maybe we don't.
That's awesome. So typically in a day, how long does it take you to prepare your meats, and how much are you producing?
Ooh, like 6 to 8 hours. And sometimes, depending on if we're doing like weekly specials, the meats that we, you know, do, it could take anywhere up to 12 hours. At that point, we just let it go overnight, you know?
Right.
But usually our average time is between 6 to 8 hours.
And are you guys doing like a full on wood burning stove?
No, or? So we have to use because of our location and where we are, we use a smoker oven. So we do have wood, but it's not like an outside smoker, you know?
Right.
It's inside, but we do have, you know, our flavored woods and everything that you can actually use with the oven, and it works pretty well, to be honest.
On the woods, do you divulge any of that? Because some people like the hickory, some people like apple wood.
I personally, we mix like a few. We do the hickory, and then there's this one that we actually just found out. I can't recall the name, but it's like, it has almost like a berry wine type of flavor to it that we just recently started using with some of our meats. And it's not strong, but it has a very smooth taste, you know. You can taste it. Mm-hmm. It's really good. But
is it kind of like a white oak or something like that?
Something like that, but that's not the name of it. It's like a newer, I don't know what it is. My chef found it, and it's some, like I said, it's like a berry wine, like, under, can't describe it, but it's very, very smooth, and it works great with the pulled pork.
That's really awesome. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because it depends on what meat, what smoke you use, is how good of a temperament you get on some of those porks. So it makes a big difference.
Also, the sauce, you know, makes a huge difference. The sauce we use here is like, it's decades. It's from like my family from so long ago. And it's a very good sauce. You know, some people like sweet, thick sauce. Some people like more tangy, loose. This is like kind of right in the middle. It's sweet, but it's like tangy. And it's not too thick, but it's not too thin either. It's like, it's literally the perfect sauce. And I honestly believe that helps make the meat as well.
A good sauce always does complement it. But, you know, for a great barbecue, you always hear people say you really don't need the sauce, but it's a compliment that even enhances it.
Absolutely.
And is that the approach that you all take?
Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So your sauce, is it like a vinegar-based sauce? Is it like a tomato-based sauce? What do you guys use in your sauce?
It's a tomato-based sauce. We use a few different vegetables in our sauce and a few little secret weapons that I have that we use. But it's probably the most important ingredient in is the maple syrup that I use. That is like, it brings so much, along with the other ingredients that I use, it brings so much flavor out in the sauce. It's really good. I wish you could try it.
Oh, you know, you could always ship the sauce to me.
So. Maybe I will.
I would love to do it. I do make my own sauce too, but you know, I don't make it complete. Well, I make it for the most part from scratch. The only thing I don't make from scratch in it that I add to it is the chili sauce.
You know?
So basically, you know, mine, I don't mind to divulge this, but basically mine has my rub in it, which is, you know, basically the standard rub that you see from there, paprika, salt, pepper, garlic, onion, a little bit of oregano, some cayenne. So that's the rub that I typically use, but that seasoning goes to my barbecue sauce. And then I take the chili sauce, mix it in there along with some vinegars and some typically either apple juice or pineapple juice. So it depends on what day that I kind of what I feel. And then, you know, I saute some onions and garlic and then basically puree them and put them all in that mixture and let them cook down for about an hour, 2 hours till it gets to the consistency that I like, depending on how big the batch is.
That sounds really good.
Yeah, and it's super sweet too, because I mean, you still have the brown sugar and the regular sugar that goes into it. So, and sometimes if I want it more tangier, I will pull those sugars out. And I do like a wide variety of flavors. So, it, you know, sometimes I want this, I'm in a sweet mood, but sometimes I want to be in this savory, you know, bold and tangy mood. So
you that's just what I usually don't add. I've added oranges to my barbecue sauce and it comes out really, really good. But if I find that it, because I like a sweeter sauce, but if I find that it's too sweet, because I like it like right in the middle, I'll add lemon. Lemon is really good. And then I'll even let the lemon cook within the sauce for a little bit, not too long, you know, but it'll give it that tangy, sweet and tangy flavor. It's really good.
There was this one guy that when I grew up here in Kentucky, by the way, and there was this guy that was down the road in my hometown, which is in Eminence, Kentucky, which is right. We're all these towns that I'm in Shelbyville, which is right outside of Louisville. And so is Eminence. And you know, he had this flavored on his ribs that I cannot emulate. I don't know. He won't divulge the secret, obviously, but it was this rich and tangy. But one thing I did notice is it had hints of like a beer flavor to it. And I'm like, that's really interesting. So I don't know if he actually used beer in it or just used like the hops in it. So, and some, I've heard people do those type of things with their barbecue sauces. So
yeah, I actually had a customer come in and told me, he was like, your barbecue is really good, but try with the barbecue you have, just add one thing. And it was champagne. And when I tried it, it was actually really, really good. So he said that he makes his barbecue sauce, you know, with champagne. And like I said, it wasn't bad. People have so many creative ways of making.
They do. They do. So let's go back and start talking about this restaurant a little bit. And you can see the logo in the background. If you're watching the video, folks, I am telling you this logo is so creative and it pulls out your personality. And I can see where they, you know, I can see where they pulled that out. But the amazing thing that I mentioned earlier, that this was started during this pandemic. Mm-hmm. So why did you want to start this now? What prompted you to really just kind of get this restaurant going?
So originally when the pandemic happened, I had still had my food truck. And last year was going to be my last year running the food truck anyway. It's just when the pandemic happened in March, all of my events that I had lined up for the entire year got canceled, you know, one by one. I was never really a truck to pull up on the side of the road or a curb to serve. I always went to events, so I'd never really had a chance to build that sidewalk clientele. With that being said, I pretty much was left with the option of lose everything I worked for or take a leap of faith and do what I was going to do the following year, this year anyways. I just did it a year early. So I just decided that I'd bet on myself and I did it. And honestly, I feel blessed. It's been working very, very well. We've gotten a lot of good feedback. We were on the news a couple times, but it's going very well. I feel very grateful that I did actually take the leap, you know?
Right. Now, because of the pandemic, not everybody can always get in to go eat at some of these places, depending on how they're locked down and what the conditions are. Are you guys offering delivery or are you using services like DoorDash or anything like that?
So that's what I did. I immediately signed up with all the online platforms to do, because the good news is, like, I never really wanted a huge restaurant. because I don't want the overhead. There was a lot of things. I always wanted it to be like fast casual, smaller, you know? So it was easier for us to kind of jump in during the pandemic because it's not like this huge restaurant that, you know, it's like smaller. So it was suited for takeout and delivery regardless. So once I signed up with those platforms, and again, with people finding out about us and then all the publicity and things that we were getting when we first opened, it really boosted, you know, our delivery and our takeout sales. And then there's like this app in the area that I opened in where it's like Next Door Neighbors. I don't know what it's called, but it's an app where all the neighbors get to talk about, you know, what's going on in the neighborhood. And I guess luckily they liked our food. So a lot of people in the neighborhood found out, and, you know, it's just been traveling. The word has been traveling pretty quick and pretty well. So
This is such a fascinating story, and I really, I know I keep saying that, but it is because the positivity that comes from you is just amazing. That's what's drawing me to this, and you know, and I'm sitting here thinking, I'm like, okay, what's her goals next?
You
know, what is she going to do? Is she going to go into catering with this venue? Are you doing catering right now?
Those are things that are going. And that's a good thing. You know, we have started our catering. The goal is to eventually. Like I told you, I'm grateful for this one, but I'm always so far ahead of myself. Like, I'm already at the second location mentally. You know right. what I mean? Like, so the goal is to open up multiple locations. And I already have like this. I'm in Encino, which is like a suburb in Los Angeles. But this was like my first choice. And I already have two other cities that I want to eventually open up. And so that's like my goal, is to just kind of open up in areas that don't have that much barbecue. And the area I opened in, I'm like the only barbecue restaurant in the area. So I think that's definitely one of the reasons why it's going so well. So I've scoped out a few more areas that are similar. So that's the goal, is to just keep opening more and more and more, and hopefully eventually out of California and expanding into other states.
Oh, start franchising maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, never think too small. You know, you never know where you're going to end up. So that is really, really cool.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
So if people wanted to find out more about your restaurant, you know, where do they need to go?
So my Instagram is BarbecueLA, or you can go to my website, which is also BarbecueLA.com, and there's everything you need to know as far as with the menu, the location, the hours, the story. Everything is on the website or on my social media, so you should follow me.
That is awesome. Any parting words or any advice for anybody that's trying to start their own business?
The biggest advice I can give is to, and this is going to sound so cliche, but it's so true, is to just not listen to anybody, and maybe just not even tell anybody what your plans are until you are for sure that you're going to do it or already in the process of doing it. Because the entire time on this journey, I can't tell you how many times people told me I was crazy for doing this, why would I do this, blah, blah, blah. And I remember thinking, I still have people asking me now, you know, what would make you open up during a pandemic? And it's because most people are like that. Most people are so closed-minded that they don't believe in themselves enough, or would rather listen to somebody tell them that they can't do something, and they just end up never doing it. So if I can say anything, is just if it's something that you really, really want to do and you're really passionate about, is to just do it and to just never listen to anybody ever, 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 ever.
Well, I hope to touch base with you again here soon, because I'd like to see how you progress down the road.
Yeah, that would be amazing. I would love that.
Well, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
This episode of Itch a Break was not a paid advertisement. Follow Jonathan Mertz on Twitter at Jonathan Mertz. That's JonathanMertz. Follow Itch Your Break on Twitter at Itch Your Break. Subscribe to the Itch Your Break podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and the iHeartRadio app. This episode of Itch Your Break was hosted, announced, engineered, edited, and produced by Jonathan Mertz. And it was recorded and produced at the Spark of Vision Studios. All sound effects and music were purchased through Sound Ideas, Pro Sound Effects, iStock, and Spark of Vision. Itch Your Break is owned and distributed by Spark of Vision. Copyright Itch Your Break, all rights reserved.